Our study tonight is out of Isaiah chapter 8, verses 19 through 22, personally offsetting spiritual darkness by looking to Scripture alone. There's a constant temptation for Christians to get occupied with a variety of sources that claim to offer spiritual insight and fulfillment aside from the believer's exposure to the written canonical Scripture. And by canonical Scripture, we're talking about the 66 books in the Bible. This has long been a challenge for God's people, one that Judah faced in Isaiah's time. And God's directive in Isaiah 8:19-22 is an invaluable guide to exposing false sources versus true guidance for spiritual fulfillment. And so we'll look at the passage. I'll read it, and then we'll look at it. First of all, Isaiah 8, verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? Why do the living go to the dead? To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word or this saying, it is because there is no light or actually no dawn in them. And they shall pass through it, distressed and hungry, that's what hardly bestead means. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God as they look upward. And they shall also look downward to the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. Okay, what's going on here? God had told Isaiah in Isaiah 8:11-16, this is kind of review, to avoid the fear the people of Judah had about the Aram-Israel alliance that threatened to invade their land and replace their king Ahaz by another puppet king, by revering and thus trusting in the Lord. And as Isaiah had appropriately applied that message in Isaiah chapter 8, verses 17 and 18, along with Isaiah 7:1-6. This is all by way of review. However, since the people of Judah had chosen not to trust in God, they had to offset their fear some other way. So they advised believers like Isaiah to consult the spiritualistic media, namely spirits and the familiar spirits which chirp and which mutter. This is an amazing thing that's going on. The people are not bothering to check with the Lord. So since they're not checking with the Lord, they're desperate for information, but they want to check God. So what are they going to do? Go after mediums, witches, wizards, and get involved in witchcraft. It's incredible, the rebellion that goes on here. Well, anyway, the Lord countered this advice by the faithless, asking, should not a people seek unto its God on behalf of the living? Why should they consult the dead? In the Hebrew, the living unto the dead, and you supply the other words, but I'm supplying the words for you so it makes sense in English. So the people of Judah were not only acting unlike even the pagan Gentiles, who at least would consult their pagan gods in times of fear, in that Judah's people had failed to consult their true Lord. The men of Judah were also seeking advice by contacting the deceased by way of spirit mediums. It's interesting that when you look at the pagans were loyal to their own gods. They never would switch gods from their god to somebody else's god. But Israel was eager to switch her god for the pagan gods and go after witches. So Israel wasn't even functioning like the other people of their era, the ancient Near East, were concerned, which shows that there's a spiritual problem here. Well, God then advised the right route for believers like Isaiah to take in gaining fulfilling insight in verse 20. The phrase that reads, to the law and to the testimony, referred to one's looking to God's canonical scriptures for insight. The law referred to the Mosaic law that was in the scriptures, and then the testimony is the testimony of God in all of the scriptures themselves. So the phrase to the law and to the testimony is like our phrase, let's get back to the Bible. Essentially, it's the same thing. They didn't have all 66 books then, but what they had of God's written word. So this is a very powerful testimony here. Dr. Ryrie in his footnote says, to the law and to the testimony referred to ones looking to God's canonical scriptures for insight, the only absolute and trustworthy standard of revelation. So God said that if the people of Judah did not advise to the law and to the testimony, akin to our saying, let's get back to the Bible, but instead turn to other sources for spiritual insight, there was no dawn to them. Now, I know in our passage it says they have no light, but here's no dawn. Dawn is the bare light that you can see over the eastern horizon, and it gives hope that eventually it's going to be brighter, because if the dawn is there, that means the sun's about to rise. And as the sun comes up, it's going to be fully bright. So what God is saying is, if you're not saying, get back to my word, you don't even have the hope of having insight, let alone lacking adequate insight. Now that's an amazing statement. If we are looking to anything other than written scripture itself for insight, we're in darkness, and not only are we in darkness, we don't even have the hope of insight. The reason for that is the whole world's in darkness. So if we're not looking at the Bible, which is our only source of spiritual light, we have no spiritual light. This is why I know as a pastor it really bothers me with people look at something other than the Bible itself. There's nothing wrong in reading Christian books that point us to the Word and clarify the Word. That's fine. But if it's directing us to something that is replacing God's Word, we're walking in darkness. And it's a losing proposition at that point. So since the first rays of dawn provide hope for greater light with the rising of the sun, God was indicating that those who are turning to any other source besides his canonical scriptures for insight did not have even a hope of getting true insight like the dawn offered hope of the sun's coming fuller light. Rather, such folk were hopelessly destined to remain in complete spiritual darkness. Now, this can occur in a believer's life. Even believers can walk in darkness. John implies this in his book in 1 John, walk in spiritual darkness and not have real insight. Well, to explain this claim that such people walked in great darkness, God continued in verses 21 and 22, and he described what would occur to Judah's faithless people if they kept on seeking spiritual guidance apart from God's authoritative canonical scriptures as follows. And this is where we get into verse 21. First of all, they would pass through the land of Israel distressed and hungry, lacking God's agricultural supply for turning from him as the Mosaic law had warned. You see in verse 21, they'll pass through the land distressed and hungry. Why are they hungry? Well, God had said in Deuteronomy 28:15-20, if you don't obey the law, all of these curses will come upon you. And among those curses would be shortages in crops. So that's why the people are going to be hungry. They're going to be hungry because God has withdrawn his blessing. They're not getting the crops they need because they've disobeyed the Lord. They've turned against the Lord. So if they're not getting back to the scriptures, they're wandering away from the Lord. They're disobeying the Lord. Therefore, the Lord is withdrawing his blessing and they're distressed and hungry. Now, when people become hungry, the people would get angry and express it upward to those, namely over them. That would be cursing their king Ahaz, who was unable to help, and even cursing God for withholding his blessing. It's interesting, when people are in spiritual darkness, they think God is a meanie, and God doesn't like them, and he's just being harsh, and he's withdrawing his blessing, so they curse God. They don't understand what they're doing. God wants to bless his people. In fact, back at Mount Sinai, it's interesting, God put the fear of God in the people. And Moses came to the people and said, the reason God is making you afraid of him is he wants you to respect him, so then you'll obey him. Because if you obey him, then he can bless you. But if you're not afraid of him, you're not going to obey him, and therefore he can't bless you. So God's trying to bless you by making you afraid of him, because he knows that you're sinners. It's very interesting, the study in that passage in Exodus chapter 20 that God brings out here. So anyway, the people were cursing God because he was withholding his blessing. It's their own fault. Well, getting no help from looking to those over them, like God and their king, the people would frantically look for help even to those who were below them. and the antonymical pair upward and to the earth. Those are antonyms, upward and downward. Implies everything in between. This is why when in Hebrew it says God created the heavens and the earth, it means the entire universe. The heavens are up there and the opposite of the heavens are the earth. So when you have, these are antonyms or opposites in meaning. When you have an antonymical pair like me, that means everything. So anywhere they looked, whether it was upward, whether it was downward, and it was anything in between, everywhere they looked, they weren't getting any help. They weren't getting any insight. And they were getting very desperate. So no matter where the wicked looks, he finds no hope of fulfilling insight. This is interesting because there are a number of unsaved people. I know I've run into them who every now and then when a sort of a national or an international crisis comes up, they get concerned and scared. Even very intelligent people, they've talked to my wife, they've talked to me and everything, kind of wanting, and they know we're in the ministry. They're worried, you know, what's going to happen in the future? And they're worried when a crisis occurs. Well, they get desperate because they don't have answers. They don't know where to go because they're in darkness. Well, indeed, everywhere those in darkness would then turn, they would only find distress and darkness, dimness of anguish, and be thrust out into outer darkness. Edward J. Young, some sinners think that they are in the light and that they possess freedom, independence, truth, an unprejudiced mind. Actually, they walk in darkness and are slaves of the gloom, subject to falsehood and prejudice in favor of evil. What a shock it's going to be when they stand before the Lord someday. It's amazing. Jesus says in Matthew 7, someday people will stand, many shall stand before me and shall say, Lord, we cast demons out in your name, and in your name we did many miraculous works. And I will say unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. What a shock. What a shock. But that's what happens when people are in darkness. They don't even know they're in darkness. They just get into tremendous difficulties. So when Judah's faithless people advise the believers in Judah's true God, turn to spirit mediums for guidance, God countered, asking why anyone would turn to deceased spirits instead of to their own God, as even the pagans did in distress, and added that unless one heeded scripture, he walked in hopelessly deep darkness. So may we resist the lure or advice to turn to any source besides canonical scripture for insight, to avoid winding up in total, hopeless, gloomy spiritual darkness, but may we stay focused on canonical scripture instead. When I got out into the pastorate many years ago, I every now and then would run into difficulties, and so I would contact sources and parties that I had known in the past. And one day I got into a situation, and every party and pastor that I talked to didn't have an answer. And I suddenly got this cold chill down my spine. No one could help. And then guess what? When all else fails, read the directions. So I remembered, we do have the pastoral epistles, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. So I started to go to them. And you know what? I got hooked on the pastoral epistles, and ever since then, on Fridays, I'll take a chance, and I'll, when I had some time after doing my sermon preparations, I'll go through them, quickly scan them. And it's wonderful how God has used those books, which are for pastors, to give me solutions to everything that I'm running into. Everything. It's marvelous. So it's right there. It's been the Word of God. And the Lord allowed me to get into crises so that I would finally learn, get back to His Word. It's nice to use the advice of godly men around you, but they're just men. The one God wants us to use ultimately as our final source is God. It's and I'm not saying that we shouldn't use counselors. The Bible says in a multitude of counselors there's safety, and we should seek to use human advice. But there are times when the only one who has solutions is God. The only one who has the advice is God and God's Word. So I've actually translated 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. I've written the translations down in my own lingo, my own wording and everything, and I'll read through those translations that I've had, and I've marked them up, you know, drawn lines through, and everything, gotten a lot of lessons, but it's absolutely invaluable. So I would encourage everyone to get right into the Word of God yourself. There's nothing like getting one-on-one with God in His Word. And boy, can He help. Really, really help.